Everyone, welcome to Podcast Insider. This is episode number 150, and I want to welcome my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell, who is with me here in the Combo by Design studio.
Yes, across the desk once again. That's down here in Columbus, Ohio. So
yeah, at Blueberry HQ.
The mothership.
So, that's right. So everyone, welcome to the show. We've got a great lineup of stuff to talk to you about today. We're going to give me a little news updates and stuff going on with Spotify and Stitcher. We're going to be talking about best practices when it comes to your show introduction. Then we're going to be talking about some stuff going on with Blueberry. And we got a great interview with a podcaster from across the pond in the UK, Lee Ball. This is a show that is very local in nature called This Is Rammy. And so we're looking forward to having Lee on the show today. And of course, we're going to be talking a little bit about support stuff as well. So, Mike, wow, it's fun being here. We had a little fun day yesterday with the team. Did a little pin bowling. I've never done that before.
Yeah, that was interesting. And, of course, we went and saw a movie together. And, yeah, that was a great time with all the team that was down here in Columbus. And sorry we're missing a few of them. But,
And we put some stuff up on social. And so you can see the team picture there. But anyway, yeah, so good times by all. So, Mike, I don't know if you read the Spotify earnings report or not, but they said podcasting was underperforming, but they were investing heavily.
Yes, they have invested heavily.
So $300 or $400 million investment worth of heavily, and then for the CEO to say that it's underperforming, that's probably not what they wanted to report, don't you think?
No, I don't think so, but they were spinning it positively too, that their podcast listenership was up over 50% or something like that, but, you know.
And they had 30,000 new shows since the beginning of the year, but of course, those shows don't belong to Spotify. They belong to shows like everyone that's listening to this podcast today. So how's your Spotify stats looking? We're going to talk a little bit about something new coming to Spotify here as far as stats on Blueberry here almost immediately, but we're waiting on some I will talk about it later. But anyway, if you're looking for a job, Stitcher seems to be hiring. What are they looking for?
They are looking for a what do they call it, a partner success director. And I didn't get all the details here. We have a write-up over at Podcaster News. Jen wrote that up, and I haven't really investigated a whole lot, but yeah, there are jobs out there in podcasting.
Yeah, and you know, there's actually a huge number of jobs that are being announced, and if you're not subscribed to the PosNews.net newsletter, they have job listings on there as well. So if you know, if you're looking for a job in podcasting and you're looking for a career change, that's definitely option for you. But we just got our banners in for Podcast Movement and pulled them up. I think we've got an exciting new look, don't we?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we, you know, Emma, our new graphic designer there, she does an awesome job of reinventing, I guess would be the right way of putting it, our look and feel without throwing away the past.
That's right. So I think we've got a fresh coat of paint on stuff for bringing to Podcast Movement. So if you're going to be there, we got a lot of cool things going on at Podcast Movement. We'll talk about what we'll be doing at Podcast Movement. Hopefully you'll come see us here in a few minutes. But let's talk a little bit about best practices. You know, Mike, we did a show introduction here where we started the show. And we introduced ourselves. And we didn't tell people where they could find us, though. We failed in that ourselves by telling folks they could go over to podcastinsider.com to find us and subscribe to us, right?
Yeah, so see, you and I aren't in our normal environment, see? So, you know, we weren't quite on the ball right away. But yeah, you really definitely, at the beginning of your show, it's best to kind of let people know what they're in for.
Yeah, and where they can find you, because they may have discovered you, you know, some obscure directory or on some app, and they may not even know where Home Base Alpha is. So, you know, part of that show introduction, introduce yourself, where they can find your show, you know, and then what's on today's show. I think I did a good job at the beginning doing that, right?
Oh, certainly. And like I said, and of course, we're at podcastinsider.com.
So. That's right. So, you know, and I think too is One thing that we try to do here, and what I try to do on my personal show, is I try to take, like, if I, you know, I do a news show, so I'm going to have like 20 topics. So I take the top three topics of the day that I know they're going to get people like, whoa, what's this going to be about? So I will basically kind of read a headline with a twist at the beginning of my show. Say, coming up today's show is the news about Microsoft buying Apple. You know, that kind of a title will get people's attention, right?
That's clickbait there.
That is clickbait. But, you know, folks get the feeling here, if that was really the case, that would be the lead story of the day that we would lead off in a tech show. So you talk a little bit about what's on your show. And, of course, more importantly, remember, this is podcasting. So even though some people are actively listening to your show, what is the end goal? The end goal is for them to subscribe.
Oh, yeah. You want to send them to a place that has all the options. As we were talking about last week, don't send them to Apple. Don't send them to Google. You're on those places, but find us at our website.
That's right. And they come to the website. They land on your homepage. You've got about 3 seconds to capture their attention. And if there isn't a subscribe sidebar there where they can subscribe to your show via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you have your show listed, and you should give them all the options, then they can subscribe and be on their merry way because they have listened to your call to action at the beginning of your show. So your show introduction is quick and dirty. Mike, what do you think about music at the beginning of a show?
It's okay, but you don't want to have a big, long intro with just the music. And, you know, and I understand people have like a theme song or whatever, but, you know, I've seen intros go for a minute and a half.
So what do you think? I don't like to make rules, but I think anything more than 15, 20 seconds is probably annoying, maybe 30 at the most.
Yeah, and a lot of times what you do is you start with the music, and then you drop it down and talk over it.
Right.
You know, and that's fine. Do your introduction with the music playing behind you, whatever. But, you know, don't make the introduction 3.5-4 minutes long with a professional voiceover, and it's the same every time because, you know, people will skip that eventually.
Yeah, and another thing, too, I think, is that if you've got a high-energy intro, you better hit your show high-energy. You don't want to come off this high-energy intro and then drop into this dialogue. You know, you want to keep the same pace and same excitement. So your intro should match how your content is formatted and doing. So, you know, record your show and then think about what would be cool in front of that or to go along with that. And I think that you'll find a happy mix.
Yeah, that's my problem sometimes. You know, if I've had a pre-produced intro and I didn't have enough caffeine that morning, you know, I come on there, hi, this is Mike. Well, right. You know, it's kind of like, what happened?
That's right, you know. I had this intro on my show for a number of years. It was like, just bah, 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 bah. It was this thing exploded out of the gate. So I literally did jumping jacks right before I started the show because I had to come out of the gate with the show sounding the same way the intro did. And of course, you kind of, you know, you can fade down into a normal pace, but you got to match that intro. And it was pre-produced. It had a, you know, voiceover guy. This was Todd. Just strap in. Here it comes. You know. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, it might be kind of cool to maybe I'll send you that file, Mike. And maybe we'll put that at the end of at the show today or something.
But yeah, there we go.
and people can kind of hear that donk 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 noise that used to play. And
I used to put smooth jazz at the beginning, so everybody got kind of mellowed out by the time.
You're kind of mellow in the way you do your show anyway, so I think you need like 5 Red Bulls before you start your show. Then it's going to get interesting, you know. You caffeinate up real heavy so you're super hyper and bouncing around in the chair. I'd like to see that, Mike.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And then it wouldn't be cool jazz. We'd have to have some dance music or something. So
yeah, we've talked to Jeff about that. He knows the dance music.
That's right. Speaking of music, we're expecting a announcement, but it hasn't come yet on music. It's these big 500,000-pound companies that they move a little slower than what we would. You know, we'd have had an announcement out the next day, but we know there's a big announcement coming for music, and sadly, it's not on the street yet. But anyway, that's kind of our best practice segment, and we hope that you'll Take that into consideration when you're doing your show. So let's talk a little bit about Podcast Movement and what we have planned for the booth. So if you're going to be down in Orlando, we're in a nice, big, spacious 10 by 20. And we're going to have doctor's office hours, aren't we?
Yeah, office hours there for sure. It's going to be the help desk.
Yeah, the help desk. We're going to have a help desk open for a number of hours a day. And we'll have a schedule for that on next week's show if you're going to be down in Podcast Movement. But you can actually come down, bring your laptop, sit down with Mike, and talk about your issue that you may be having with your podcast.
And technical.
Technical issue. And, who knows, it could morph into other conversations as well. But the Podcast Help Desk will be open and available for you to spend some time with Mike. And then the other part of the day for that same section of the booth, we're going to be running a contest. And it's going to be Record Your Promo Contest. So, promos is a long-lost art, isn't it?
Yeah, we tried to resurrect it a little bit there on the old Your podcast before we made the switch here. And, we got a couple of promos. It was cool, but we want to bring it back.
Yeah, we want people to have a promo, a pre-recorded promo, that they can send to a favorite podcaster that they promoted on their show and say, hey, I love your show. I've talked about your podcast on my podcast. Here's my promo. Would you run it during your show? Yeah. They may or may not, but it's also great to have as maybe something you have available on your website that really kind of...
Yeah, think of it as your audio business card.
That's right. A 30 to 60 second spot that is who you are and what your show is about and why someone should subscribe and listen to your podcast. So if you're a Podcast Movement, we'll have that. And what we're going to do too is if you're not going to Podcast Movement, we're going to make available some scripts for you, and we'll have those in the show notes of a later show where you can get the idea of what you need to create your own promo and record that for your own podcast and make that available. And who knows, maybe submit it to us here on Podcast Insider.
And you buried the lead.
What was that?
Well, the contest. What's the prize?
Oh, the prize. the prize is often... Awesome. A Rodecaster.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rodecaster Pro. And I think that's what we're going to be using to record there, too.
Yeah. So it'll be the same unit you see is the same unit you will get at the end of the show. So with a few hours of utilization on it. Maybe we'll have to talk about that. Maybe we'll keep that one for ourselves.
Yeah, there you go.
and then give a brand new one ship it, drop ship. But anyway, that's what we're going to be doing at Podcast Movement. And of course, we'll have the regular section of the booth that's going to be available to talk to you about your business needs or where your podcast is going. But we've got some new things to talk about at the show. We have now, and of course, many of you got the announcement that our pro users, our full ad insertion has been released. So everything that is with our ad insertion program that is coded and dev'd is up and running and available. We're giving every pro customer 60 days free of the full ad insertion system, which includes pre-roll, mid-roll, post-roll, and of course, every iteration in between. It could be pre, mid, post. And we're excited about having that available for our podcasters that want to drop a...
Yeah. Poor Aaron, when we were testing it, every time I tried it, I broke it. So we got it fixed, and it's all working great.
So we hope there's no more bugs, but this is why we're giving 60 days free as well to make sure that the product is meeting the customer's expectations. So I'm excited to have that on the street, and you're going to see more information about that. Of course, come talk to us at Podcast Movement, or just send us an email if you want more details on how you can use our ad injection system, ad insertion system.
Yeah, ad insertion. We gotta make sure we keep...
Ad insertion system, and send it to support@blueberry.com, or you can even email me directly, todd@blueberry.com. But we've had a couple of updates as well to PowerPress, Mike.
Yeah, we had kind of a major release there, 7.5, and as with every major release of software used by lots of people, it had a couple of little bugs, and so we've been squashing bugs. We're up to 7.5.3 as of this recording, and I think we're about done with the bugs.
Yeah, and For those that were running on a little older WordPress installs with older versions of PHP, our new web sub pub feature seemed to cause a little bit of a problem. So they put the code fix in, and we hope we've got everyone fixed at this point. And
if not, give me an email or something. We'll figure it out.
Yep. So this should be the last, I hope, quick release update, and we'll be back to maybe 2 or 3 weeks before we put out another version. But something that's exciting that we're getting ready to do is, because we have released our ad insertion system, is we need to put all of our customers on pass-through at Spotify. Now, this has been planned since really January. We've been holding off on flipping the switch here. And actually, we've informed Spotify as of yesterday that we want to be turned on to pass-through. And what that does is it's going to allow you to get Spotify stats, Spotify certified downloads statistics from us versus Spotify. So you're going to start seeing your Spotify data populate in the Blueberry Stats dashboard, which is pretty exciting because I think we'll still get Spotify stats being sent back.
Yeah, Spotify stats measure a different thing. That's a listener stat, yeah, you know, for their apps and whatnot. But as far as the IAB certified stats, they're going to be coming right directly, just like any other stats at Blueberry, and they will be different than what Spotify's reporting. Yeah. But they're reporting a different thing.
Yeah, so we'll be curious to see how that looks even AB-wise. So expect, it'll be nothing you have to do on your end. Don't worry, no changes. But instead, we'll be serving the media to Spotify directly on demand, and we're excited about being able to do that and then start collecting this additional information for those of you that are on Spotify. And what it's also going to do, it's going to give us a bigger insight into what's really happening on Spotify, and you'll actually know what percentage of your audience is truly, truly listening to your show on Spotify, and where you can decide where you're going to spend your promotion time at places for people to get your podcast beyond your own personal website or beyond your own personal landing page at blueberry.com. So, Mike, this next interview, I don't know, did you get a chance to listen to Lee?
I did not, so I'll listen to it when I'm editing.
Yeah, so Lee is this is a unique podcast. This is a podcast that is dedicated to one city, and it's called This is Rami, and I'll let Lee get into the details on what the show's about, but he's in the UK. And I think we explore something here that you as a podcaster that may live in a small, medium, or even large city may want to consider as an actual podcast to do. Maybe something new, another podcast that you would consider running. But I'm really intrigued, or was intrigued, about his origin story and the goals of his shows and what it's meaning for him and his interactivity and moving to a new community. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Lee Ball. And this is Rami. Hey, everyone. I want to welcome Lee Ball to Podcast Insider. Welcome to the show, Lee. And you're hailing from the UK. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Todd. Yeah, I'm all the way across the pond, as they like to say, in the UK.
You know, we've been doing some interviews here with podcasters. And when your note came across my desk about doing a hyper-local podcast, I was really excited to talk to you. So why don't you just give everyone a little introduction about you and just kind of a little 411 on your show.
Sure. Okay. So the show I do is called This is Rami. Obviously, it's a podcast. It's a local podcast about Ramsbottom, which is a town just maybe about 6 miles north of Manchester. So more people will have heard of Manchester than Ramsbottom. I interview local people, local businesses, try to keep people abreast of what news is going on and general entertainment and things like that. And I started it back in March 2015, and this week I released my 140th episode.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, I was at a podcaster meetup last night, and we were talking about local shows and how local shows can be successful. And so this has been perfect timing for me to do this interview with you, because it kind of top of my mind as well. What made you decide, you know, going back to 2015, what was the inflection point for you to think about doing a show, a local show? Because, you know, it's not a popular, I guess for better words, meme or category in podcasting. People are doing a lot of international shows, but what drove you, or what was the genesis moment for you doing something local?
You're definitely right. The potential reach of a local podcast is somewhat limited, especially in a town like Ramsbottom, where it's not, you know, there's only I think Wikipedia says 14,000 people, but it never feels that big. It's very, very much got a village type feel. But I only moved here in October 2014, and before moving here, because it's such a tight knit community, I was always told that it might be quite difficult to integrate and kind of not be the outsider. I started the website first, thisisrami.co.uk, and then the idea was that I would like create blog posts, help people, because there weren't that many websites about Ramsbottom. And obviously if I was moving here, then it's the kind of thing that I would have looked at and read about beforehand. So I did that for a little while, and then I thought, there's no podcasts for Ramsbottom, so why don't I do one? Because I've wanted to do a podcast for years, but I have a background in tech, so I'm kind of only skilled in that kind of area. But I didn't want to do another tech show because there are so many out there. So I was kind of just waiting for something like unique. And this was kind of my niche. And the two reasons for doing it, I guess, was one, obviously, to have the podcast itself. But the other was it kind of gave me the cheeky way of speaking to local businesses and speaking to companies and other people and getting to know them. Since I've started the podcast, I've got lots of people I would call friends that I've either interviewed on the show or I've met through different community groups and things like that. And a lot of the time I would have gone to the community group to kind of understand a bit more about it, try and get some content for the show. So it forced me to get out there and kind of meet people, and the podcast kind of came along with it.
Well, that's kind of cool. So it was kind of you killed two birds with one stone. You got the networking and met people in the community, got educated on the community. So for someone that's just moving fresh, this is it's an interesting dichotomy. I think about that a little bit and what you've said there, and I'm like, I could see the advantages because, you know, I've just left Hawaii. I've moved back to my hometown that I grew up in, but as I tell people, I was gone 35 years, 10 months, and 9 days, and it's a different town now, and of course, some of the people I grew up with are still there, but talking with my sister, I'm trying to say, well, maybe we ought to do something where we're talking with local businesses, because, you know, we're considering doing something local, and I kind of had almost the same, I guess for better words, ulterior motives, is to be able to get back in and network. You know, you can join the local civic groups, but talking to them one-on-one is a lot better. So from that perspective, how have I'm sure people love to come in and talk about what they're doing. What kind of conversations have you had?
They've varied quite a lot. So I've interviewed businesses that have just set up. For example, there was a restaurant they're not there anymore. They've now changed owners, but they were a vegan restaurant that had just started, for example. And there aren't that many vegan restaurants, so obviously it was kind of a bit of a unique opportunity. And that was one of the first interviews we had, I had a while ago. I've also interviewed who is he's now our MP for this area, but at the time he wasn't. He'd just gone through an election and he wasn't successful. But naturally now he. There was kind of politics in the UK is a bit up in the air at the moment, but there was another election and he was basically successful on that. And I have interviewed a couple of people who, there's a thing called Rami Men, which is a group that organize events and things like there's a regular football event, and it's kind of all behind the whole mental health side of things and it's called Rami Men, but there are some women who are also involved as well. But the whole point was that one of the people I interviewed had some friends who had like sadly committed suicide. I think two or three of them. I think there was two that were his friends, and there was another that he was aware of. And it was kind of a thing that he just wanted to do something. So a bit like I do with the podcast, he wanted to, get men back together and, sure. and to try and break some of the stigma. So this, it could be anything like that. Even today I popped into Ramsbottom itself on my lunch and I interviewed a local business who are just starting up a flooring business. And tomorrow there's someone got in touch who has a social media business and I'll be nipping into their office tomorrow on my lunch break again and going speaking to them and just grabbing a quick interview. So it does vary quite wildly.
So did, when you moved to the community, did you already have employment set up or were you job searching at the time?
No, I already had the job that I had at the time. I had been working at for, I think it would have been about 6 years, I think, at the time then. So my background, as I mentioned, is technology. So I'm a networks engineer, server engineer. Essentially anything I can turn my hand to, I'm doing it. So more often than not at the moment, it's like cloud infrastructure and things. But I did have quite a long commute. So I had like half an hour, 35 minutes commute from this area of England to just round the corner of Manchester, essentially. Yep. And that's where I was listening to quite a lot of podcasts anyway. And that was kind of my thought, like, oh, if there is a podcast for Ramsbottom, then I'll listen to that and I'll know what's going on. But there wasn't anything. So that's obviously why I started it. But it's just one of those things that they didn't seem that much content around, mm-hmm. especially around podcasts themselves.
So based upon, and I'm digging towards is, if do you think if you had not had employment and you are looking for employment, do you think this would have been a route to find a job? Have you been given any offers, or you got to meet someone and they like you, they said, hey, I want you to come work for me? Have you had any of that?
I think definitely that is one of the options, and that is actually, now that you come to mention it, is one of the things that I did think in the back of my mind was that because naturally a half an hour commute is not too bad, but if I could have had a 5 minute commute down the road, sure. obviously that would have been a lot better. So yeah, it was kind of building that network as well. If something went south with the job and I ended up losing it, then having that kind of community to fall back on, that people know what I'm like through the podcast, mm-hmm. and also they know that I'm dedicated, because I don't get paid for the podcast as quite a lot of podcasters do. Mm-hmm. So showing that you're dedicated and you'll show up week in, week out, that was definitely an option as well. It was a benefit, a side benefit.
One thing I was going to ask you about that. So you have opted not to monetize the show, or have you been offered advertising? How's that been going?
I actively seeked it out a while ago now. I think it would have been it was the first Christmas that I started. That was when I was on the whole learning more about podcasts, creating a media pack, trying to promote it through local businesses. But because a lot of the businesses around here are they're independent, they don't necessarily have a lot of funds anyway. And because it's such a niche podcast as well, the monetizing through things like, 1,000 downloads right. type platforms, just not going to be worth it. So that's the other reason I don't have adverts on the website as well, yeah. because I might come away with $5 a month, but it's just not worth the experience of my users coming to it and having that deteriorated experience.
Sure. What is the population of the town?
I'd say Wikipedia says about 14,000. I haven't seen them all. I've definitely not interviewed them all. But there's, in the main central part, I would say it's probably about 4,000, 4,000 or 5,000.
That's interesting, because the town I moved to is about 23,000. And I was, debating. I said, is there going to be enough content here to and find enough interesting people that are doing interesting things to be able to, number one, keep myself motivated to do the show, and number two, be able to interest the audience. So it sounds to me, with having 154 episodes, you've definitely found the people and found the folks to interview, and I'm sure it varies from individual to individual, but what do you think then on listenership-wise? You think you've got around 1,000 people listening to the show in the local community?
Oh, no, nowhere near. So my download numbers, they vary wildly, but the episode I released like 2 days ago, I think it was, has currently got, I think it's about 120 downloads, I think, or just over 100 downloads, which is not too bad. That's kind of like the average I've been topping out in the last like over 2 weeks or so, about 100 to 150 within like 14 days, which I'm happy with.
Right.
I always said when I started it to myself, not to anybody in particular, but I said that if I had like 5 downloads, then that's 5 people that I'm clearly entertaining. Mm-hmm. But if it bottomed out and I had 0 downloads every week, then I would have to, well, first I'd have to check it was still working. And then secondly, I'd have to check to see whether or not it's worth continuing. But I think with a local podcast, there's so many unique opportunities that you get, whereas another podcaster wouldn't. In that, for example, I was able to walk down today and interview people in person.
Sure.
I can go to local events and obviously take a microphone with me. I don't have to do everything over Skype, for example, or any other kind of phone call or anything. I can actually go and meet them face to face. It does kind of mean that the timings is a bit tricky, because I would always rather get in front of people than do it over the phone, and obviously doing it over the phone is more convenient. But I see people when, if I'm going out shopping or if I'm just nipping out for some food, then I'll bump into people I've either interviewed previously. I interviewed some litter pickers who were, this is kind of their way to contribute back to the community, is they go out and they pick litter around the town for, they're not getting paid for it. They're just trying to make the town a lot cleaner. And they've cleared like 8 big bagfuls of rubbish today. And there was only like 3 of them. And I just stopped and said hello. I asked her how it's going on. I said, let me know if you need any more promotion. And, I'm always willing to help out. And that's kind of my way of giving back, because there's lots of people like her that are helping the community. But I've got a young family, so I don't have that much flexibility. So this is kind of my way of giving back.
Yeah, that's nice. And I think, too, in a small community, and my mom always said that you don't move into a small community with secrets, because everyone pretty much knows everyone. So how has it been, 14,000 people, when you go out now in the community, let's say you go to some place to eat or you go into a pub, has it expanded your social circle? How has that worked out?
I would say definitely. If I hadn't started the podcast, I already had some friends who lived here already, so I could go out with them. But now I'm pretty confident that if I go out to one of the local pubs or something, then either if there's not somebody in there that I already know and I'll just be able to talk to, I could probably send a message out on social media. And if somebody's local or they fancy having a drink out, they'll probably be out within a couple of minutes. So everything's within about a quarter of a mile of the center of Ramsbottom. It's really tight. So
right.
All of the bars and clubs are all kind of down back streets. So you're going to bump into someone that you know. And even if you don't know anybody, there's a couple of times I've been out just to chat to the landlord or the person working behind the bar. And when you've got a podcast and you've got this kind of, I guess it's kind of my like safety blanket, it's my way of saying, oh yeah, I've got a podcast, I've spoke to blah blah blah, rather than just talking about my job, which is nobody ever wants to talk about computers.
That's right. And I think I think what you've happened upon here, and maybe what we were talking a little bit about last night with a few people that were at this meetup, is the one gal had said, I'm going into a small community, and she was thinking about this too. So it kind of hits home for me. I'm definitely going to send this interview over to her early, because it's definitely going to give her some things to think about. I think there's a lot of podcasters out there that maybe they're not super passionate about a topic. I'm kind of a nerd geek like you, and I like to talk tech. And that to me is an enjoyable pastime when I'm drinking a beer. But most people don't like to talk shop like that. So I think that... for a lot of people, though, they may not have a super big passion, but they're involved in the community. So I think this is a cool way of networking and also, you know, getting some feedback and knowing what's going on. How's your, even though your audience is small, do you get commentary back from the audience? Do you get feedback?
I do get emails now and again. There's like contact form on the website, and so I will get people asking to be on the show, or people giving feedback via Twitter and things like that. Usually I'll base it on how many people have shared the episode. So it's fairly, you know, it's a WordPress site with the PowerPress plugin. So It's all kind of handled for me. So once it's shared out, I'll pin the post. And then if I notice a lot of people sharing it, or, you know, on Facebook, you'll see the little bar underneath that says how many people are viewing it. Then you kind of know whether or not you've resonated with the audience and whether or not you've hit on a good topic. I've had some episodes that have had, you know, over 1,000 listens. So it really does kind of depend on exactly what your subject matter is for that particular week.
Yeah.
But they don't always transfer into subscriptions. So even people that I've, you know, even friends that I've interviewed as well previously have said, I haven't listened for a while. I'll sometimes listen if there's a particular person on. So if you don't have a lot of interview shows, then you're kind of not creating content for them. So I just kind of plod on with it, really. And some people are going to like it and some people aren't.
And everyone has different interests. Everyone has different circles of influence. So it'll kind of bounce around. So almost in effect, your audience is probably much bigger than what you think it is because of this dynamic of, or you've interviewed the politicians. So you attracted a certain number of folks who are politicians. And then you've had an interview about a new pub or a new restaurant, or like you said, was it the vegan restaurant, or was it gluten-free? One of the two. So,
no, it was vegan, yeah.
Yeah, and so you're going to hit a different demo of people. So you might be surprised that even though people don't listen every episode, you may have a couple thousand people that jump in and jump out of your show based on the content. What's your typical length of your show?
It's probably about 20 minutes thereabouts. Sometimes they go a little bit over if it's an interview. Depends how long the interview is. But yeah, it's probably about 20 minutes.
So it's quick enough. You can get that little sound bite of something going on and move on to other things. Have you gotten any feedback from someone that's maybe were like you getting ready to move into the community, coming in and investigating your show and saying, yeah, what's going on in this town? Is it a place I'd like to live? Have you had any of that?
Yeah. So there's quite a lot of, quite popular groups on Facebook for the local area. And every now and again, I'll see someone who will say like, I'm looking at moving to the area, what's available for me. And rather than just like jump in and go, I do a podcast, go and have a listen. Mm-hmm. I'll try and be more specific about what they're asking. But I have, it's something I've been putting off for ages, but I want to do an episode which is like tips for people that are moving to the area. So there's like an email address you can sign up, a website you can sign up for when the bins are being collected, and things like that. So there's lots of little things that, like what you can get at the library, and there's like a free books app you can get. So I just haven't had a chance to flesh that out more, but that's kind of the things, the episodes which I think will be able to continue being useful. But then because one of the sections I have in the podcast is upcoming events, I might leave that out of that episode, because obviously if it's going to be something that's like evergreen, then it's not going to be relevant, that particular section.
Sure.
But I have thought about also taking out that events section and just turning it into an Alexa, an Amazon Echo news, like a daily thing. I can't remember. I think you can do it daily or weekly, I think, from the options, or possibly even longer than that. And that should be relatively easy to do, because all I'd be doing is cutting out that section. And then I would tack on at the end, like, if you want to hear more about this or other things, then, you know, check out the full show at such and such. And then that would kind of be a 3-minute show, if that.
Sure. And a feeder for the main show.
Yeah, I've thought about doing that. And even if it doesn't feed back to the main show, at least people are still finding use from it, you know?
Or you could actually even create, because you're using PowerPress, you'd be able to create another category, and you could do both. You could have it as an Alexa briefing, and it could be another just a short podcast on events. Mm-hmm. So you could actually create a second show without having to have gone to too much work and make it a community event podcast. I think, you know, I don't know about in the UK, but here in the United States, with radio consolidation, oftentimes we don't get information on we hear see a flyer or but if you're not listening to actually the local radio, many local radio stations don't even talk about community events because it's on like auto replay. So sometimes we just hear about stuff going on local community by word of mouth or on Facebook. So it's nice to have a place where people maybe go and say, okay, what's going on this weekend? Is there some event I can go to or festival? Someone having a special? Is there maybe even things like estate sales? I don't know if that's a thing in the UK. It is here. But, you know, at least give someone some ideas when they're bored. They say, well, we can go down there and check that out for a couple hours. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do have I've got a calendar on the website. So, yeah, it's what I try and do is when I put the events into the show, I'll make sure I take them from there. So rather than going out and getting them from Facebook, I make sure there's an event for each event that I actually talk about so makes that sense. People can click on it and go through to the calendar. But the same thing's happening here with a lot of national radio stations are kind of buying up all the smaller ones. I'm not massively involved, but there's a local community station that launched, was it Christmas? I think it was not the Christmas just gone. I think it may have been the Christmas before. But yeah, they've... you know, I've spoken to them. I've got a friend who's at the station. He used to be on like some of the bigger radio stations. So he used to be on do breakfast shows and things like that. And I actually met him through the podcast as well. Cause when I was on the early stage of promoting the podcast, I would kind of send off messages and, to radio stations and basically anything just to try and because it's unique. It's not like, oh, here's another business podcast. Mm-hmm. It's look, I've launched it. I've created this podcast for this. And like early on, I won the best places and travel podcast for the UK in 2015 as well. So that was kind of that got me on a BBC radio show. So early on, it was quite a lot of push and try and get in front of a lot of eyes and ears. But that's kind of tailed off now. I've kind of settled down with the audience that I've got. I've not really pushed it too much.
It is interesting when you get on the BBC call list because they call you at the weirdest times and say, can you talk about this in 3 minutes? And you have to be ready to go. At least that's the way it's been with me. But
yeah, we had exactly the same thing in Boxing Day, I think it was, 2015, there was quite severe flooding across the UK and Ramsbottom was hit quite badly. A lot of houses and people were flooded out. One of the pubs collapsed and fell into the river. And I was down in Devon with my family because it's, you know, Christmas. And the BBC rang me and said, oh, is this Lee? I'm not actually there right now. But
I can talk about it, right?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. But yeah, they were like, oh, okay, never mind. Like, oh, damn. Yeah.
Yeah, I always say they would ask me, can you talk to this? And I'd be like, yes, I can. She said, oh, we'll call you back in 5 minutes. And you run to Google, you know.
Yeah. And, quick.
and look it up. But, well, it sounds to me like you've found a great way to do a local community podcast, get yourself integrated with the community, build some networking skills. Maybe someday it'll come in handy when if you're looking for another job. Because I would imagine that, you know, having made the connections, that's, you know, it's oftentimes who you know, not what you know, when it comes to, you know, almost anything in life. And if they people like you, then you're gonna do well, you know, when you're searching for a job, or, you know, maybe you're just trying to look for a plumber and, you know, someone says, oh yeah, I know a really good plumber. So sometimes that's just those, having those connections, and it'll save you money that way too because you know somebody. So I think that the local angle is an interesting one for people that are willing to take the time to do it. And of course, your award is not monetary at this point, but you're getting significant. It seems to me, at least, that you're getting significant value from the show.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. It's more... I get much more value than I would if somebody was going to pay me for an advertisement. And I think part of the fact that I don't advertise and I don't, you know, people don't pay me for interviews or anything like that. It's all free and just done in my spare time. I think that kind of makes it a lot more genuine and people are more willing to they don't distrust you as much.
Sure.
And also, I bought the house that I'm in. Well, it's mortgaged, but I thought slightly that if I can create a podcast and promote the town and the town continues to grow and thrive, then I'm not going to lose money on the house. So that's kind of, if I lost any money on the house, then that's going to offset quite a lot of any payments I would get to a podcast. So.
Right. So that's a long-term strategy. That's a good one. I like that. So it's hedging to keep building value in the community. But mm-hmm. also, you can also, if there's stuff that you see that disturbs you about the community, it's where you have an opportunity to make commentary and maybe affect change when people are getting ready to go to the ballot box, or if they're going down and voting on an initiative, if you know they're trying to get raise mm-hmm. funding for something. So even though the reach is not that big, if you have just a little bit of influence, and you said something in the very beginning of the show that resonated with me. Oftentimes podcasters will say, well, I only have 100 people that listen to my show. And I say, well, I said, where do you work? And they'll tell me. And I said, how many people work in your office? And, you know, whatever that number may be, 10, 12, 20, whatever the number is. And I said, how many people does your boss influence? And, well, my boss influences 30 people. And does he have a boss? And, yes, he influences, 100 people. So I'm like, well, you're exerting as much influence on your podcast as you would be as if you're with a boss of your company. I try to kind of use that analogy a little bit. Or if you just can visualize 100 people sitting in a room and you're speaking to 100, most of us don't ever get a chance to speak to 100 people in a room. And that's quite thrilling when you actually do it. But if you think about that from your who you're reaching, and if your show grows bigger, you think, okay, you have 1,000 or 2,000 listeners. And if you visualize them sitting in a banquet hall and you have their undivided attention for 20, 30, 60 minutes, whatever it may be, that's pretty powerful. Mm. And it's not as powerful as being on the radio, but guess what? Don't you think you have a pretty intimate conversation mm-hmm, with your local people?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the community radio station have said that they would like me to come on and do a show, but because I find podcasting so like much more flexible, I would find it difficult to commit to, right, this is my slot, this sure. is my 3-hour slot or whatever. And I've also kind of, I'm only 35, but I've kind of lost touch a little bit with music, so I don't really know what I would play mm-hmm. other than maybe stuff from the 90s and early 2000s. I wouldn't really have a clue there, but I regards to like how many people you influence or at least that you talk to, I did a similar thing. I was at a concert once in Manchester, and I just kind of, while we were waiting for it to come on, I just counted the people in, you know, the opposite block.
Sure.
And it's like, there's 20 here, and then there's this 20 here. And then I just like took a picture and drew it and said, posted it on Podcasters Hangout group. And I just said, like, here's 400 people. That's how many people, if you've only got this much, that's how many people you're actually talking to. So it kind of is a visual aid, really.
Sure. And to kind of wrap this up, one thing that I would suggest to you is if they come back to you and ask you to do something, say, hey, why don't you just take 10 minutes of my show and run that as a segment in someone else's show? And that way you're really not having to commit to doing an hour or two, but you maybe give them a 10-minute piece that they can run. And I think that would be a way maybe to help build your audience. And who knows what would come from that. But this has been very enlightening. What advice, Lee, would you have for someone that was getting ready to start a podcast?
I would say, firstly, don't worry too much about starting with everything in place. I've now probably got about 4 or 5 different microphones, but I'm very much you can get by with a, you know, $30-$40 microphone.
Sure.
And it's more about the content, so kind of prepare yourself for the long haul, because if you're struggling with content after about 5 episodes, then you probably chose the wrong subject matter. Content is the biggest, most important thing with the show, really.
Yeah, and I think that's a reason for a high mortality rate on shows is they get to episode 4, 5, 6, and they run out of things to say, it's hard to believe that you can do that on almost any topic, but it does happen. So, Lee, how do they find your show? Where can they go to find it?
Yeah, so if you go to This Is Rammy, that's thisisrammy.co.uk, and you'll find me there. Or if you just search for Ramsbottom Podcast, and it is Ram as in like the sheep and bottom as in bottom podcast, you'll find me on the Google and stuff as well.
And I want to thank you for coming on Podcast Insider. This has been truly enlightening. And for those of you considering doing a local podcast, I think this will give you a few ideas on things that you can do. If you have some ideas on what you can do, drop me an email here at todd@blueberry.com. Lee, thanks for your time here on Podcast Insider.
No problem. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Hope you enjoyed that interview with Lee. I know that I did. We've got lots more exciting interviews coming up. If you want to be on Podcast Insider and have your show showcased and talk to one of the team members here, you can send me an email, todd@blueberry.com or mike@blueberry.com. I know, hey, Mike, you got two requests for interviews.
Yeah, I'll be doing at least one of them this coming week. So.
And I got one. So who's the popular one? I think you are. So
this week anyway.
Yeah, this week anyway. But anyway, todd@blueberry.com, mike@blueberry.com, or if you want Mackenzie. Mackenzie hasn't made an appearance here on Podcast Insider yet, but we'll be having her in on the show soon. She'll be willing to do the interview as well. So just drop us a line. We'd love to have, we want to get more in the can. We're a little bit ahead, but we're not way far ahead. So this is your opportunity to be showcased here on the new show that we have here at Blueberry Podcast Insider. All right, Mike, let's talk about support a little bit.
Okay, well, I don't have a whole lot in support this week. So, you know, we've been kind of squashing bugs and doing our normal thing. But one of the things that comes up periodically is people rebranding their show. And at Blueberry, if you're hosting with Blueberry, you get, you know, we've called this thing a different thing all the time. So this is a little confusing, but it's a program keyword or web-friendly title. And I think the current thing we're calling it is the Blueberry Directory URL. But that little part in your URL, you know, it's blueberry.com/whatever. Okay.
Your show, whatever it is.
Yeah. Whatever your show is, you know, we can call it various things. I get a request to change that. And unfortunately, if you're hosting with us or you've had stats for years with us, that keyword is tied to that data. And there's really nothing we can do to extract that. So, you know, to change that keyword, which, by the way, is fairly unimportant in the big scheme of things. If you're using a WordPress site, you're sending everybody to WordPress. You're not sending them to Blueberry anyway. So, you know, it's not super important, but if you really insist on doing that, we can take your stats and just, you know, keep the listing open so you can see the prior stats, and we can migrate you over. But it is a big deal. It's like starting over from scratch. It'd be just like moving in from another company. We would move you laterally to a different hosting plan.
You know, and I think we've talked to the dev team about this, and it's one of those things when you put code down, you know, years ago, and you don't understand or you don't realize the ramifications of that choice.
Yeah, years later.
Years later, it's one of those things that is kind of, so I'm hoping I got to be very quiet here, within the next year, that I can get the team to get to a point where those keywords are not the king. Anyway, we just need to key off a customer ID.
Exactly.
You know, so it's purely a database thing at this point. And when I tell the dev team I want it changed, I get this panicked, freaked out look in their face because it affects so many different modules.
Either that or you see them running around looking for the longest list and then putting it at the bottom.
right. So anyway, for now, like Mike said, if you truly, truly need that keyword change, you're going to basically have a new stats account is what you'll have, and some other things as well, and a hosting account as well.
Yeah, you definitely have to talk to us. You know, you could make a new hosting, you know, listing and all that stuff, but that's like starting a brand new show.
And we may have opened a can of worms here on this, but again, just remember, you have to cancel your hosting account. You have to restart your hosting account. We move the media. It's not a simple deal. And We're going to try to talk you out of it, okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I talk people out of it every so often.
Yeah. So let's talk about switching from Blueberry Publisher to WordPress.
Yeah, a lot of you guys know that we do offer, you know, several different ways to generate an RSS feed. You know, a WordPress site we give you, a WordPress site that you may have had in the past, or, you know, or you have your own hosted elsewhere. And the third way is Blueberry Publisher. And we don't generally promote that. We don't, you know, encourage you to use that. We'd much rather see you on a WordPress site.
Yep.
But if you happen to be publishing at Blueberry and not using a WordPress site, it's super easy to add WordPress. We can either spin you up one or you get a WordPress site somewhere, and it's just a matter of a few button clicks and one little redirect, and you are in business on WordPress. And we can go the other way as well, but we'd rather not.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're just using the Blueberry Publisher, which, you know, it's fine. And that's when you, and for those of you that aren't clear, when you log into blueberry.com and you go into the podcaster dashboard, some folks actually publish their show there because they don't have their own website or a corporate client. They just need an embed. They need the RSS feed. And their sole landing page is blueberry.com/that
keyword.
That keyword that we're talking about, or the Blueberry directory URL. But again, our goal for you is to have you build your show on your brand. So we definitely, you know, we give you a free WordPress site. And that's the first step, really, to graduating to your own .com. And being that's free, it's an easy migration to take and get you set up over there. In my opinion, that allows you to use the podcasting best practices, at least what we consider best practices by the Blueberry team here. And we know some of you aren't worried about that. You just want to do a podcast. You want to have it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. That's fine. But we can switch you from Blueberry Publisher right to either your own or our provided WordPress
site. And if you're on our blueberry.net, you know, our PowerPress site's basic, and you want to graduate to either just adding a domain, we got that upgrade available. Or if you want to move off-site to your own .com, that's all easy too, but please contact us and don't try to do it on your own unless you really do understand, you know, that redirects are necessary and, you know, and all that, because you need to leave your change of address form.
That's right. And we'll help you with that. And that's what the support team here is. We are here to make you successful and help you with any of the services that we have. Service is number one here at Blueberry. So keep that in mind, and that keeps the support team employed as well. Maybe a little more gray hair, Mike, but...
Yeah, well, it's not too bad yet. It's falling out, but it's not turning gray.
Yeah, or mine has. So anyway, everyone, thank you for being here on Podcast Insider today. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back next week with another edition, another great interview, and more news about the upcoming, because we'll be getting ready to go to a podcast movement. Do you think we're going to do a show at podcast movement?
I think we're going to have to.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a weekly, so we'll record a show at the show in the booth.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one because that's going to be a Thursday. And
We're all busy on Thursday. I speak
twice on Thursday.
So maybe maybe we'll record it Wednesday
and release
it a day early. But everyone, thanks for being here. I'm Todd at blueberry.com.
I'm Mike at blueberry.com.
And if you need help, we're supported at blueberry.com 7 days a week with phone support 5 days a week when Mike will get you on the schedule to do that. But everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of our big podcasting family. Have a great week doing your show. Everyone, see you later on Podcast Insider at podcastinsider.com.